Amen. Romans chapter number 10 tonight, we're going to go to a very, very familiar section of God's Word. I think probably much of what I say tonight that you understand, but we're going to make some application tonight that is a little bit different perhaps than we would normally do from this text, but I believe something that's very applicable for us and helpful for us. So we're going to start in verse number 1. And we notice here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Did I say in Romans 10? Good. One of the bad things when you get older, you forget where you're at and where you're going. It's got its good side to it. It saves you a lot of time. Because you just stand there and do nothing. Anyways, let me get back here. So Paul is saying, my desire is that Israel get saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to every man that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this way, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in the heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much. We can have in our hands this marvelous word. We thank you that we can believe it from cover to cover. We thank you for the words on the cover, Holy Bible. And we're thankful tonight that it reveals to us a holy God. And that you give us instruction for day-to-day living. And we pray, Father, tonight that you would just honor yourself, work in our hearts, teach us truth, help us to apply that truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. How many have been in this room and been married over 25 years? You've been married 25 years or more. Okay. Several of you. I have a question I want to ask you. Well, let's go down to 20 years. How many have been married 20 years or more? It adds a few more to that list. All right. Well, let's go a little bit slower. Anybody been married 15 years or more? You were not in the others, but you can get into that one. All righty. And any at 10? This sounds like Abraham praying to God for Lot. But I want to say this. Anyone who's been married very long will likely be accused of selective hearing. The accusation comes as a result, you shouldn't have said amen, a result of ignoring what someone is saying. And I believe we're all probably guilty of that. And it's called selective because we make the choice. It's our choice. We can hear the sound, but we can choose whether to listen to the words or not, to pay attention or to ignore it. That's our decision. That is our choice. With those thoughts in mind, let me back up just a little bit. We'll talk about the book of Romans for a moment because it's considered the most complete book on the major doctrines of the New Testament. I won't even say this word right, but hermeneutology, or the doctrine of sin, it's a big word, is the theme of chapters 1, 2, and 3. Justification by faith is set apart from works in chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 6 speaks of the reckoning of the new spiritual nature, and chapter 7 talks about the difficulty in this reckoning. And you remember in that chapter, Paul said, I wish I could, but I don't, and I want to, and I don't do it, and so forth. But then he goes into chapter number 8, and he gives to us the power of the indwelling Spirit to live the Christian life. And it's one of the most marvelous chapters in the Word of God. And then we come to chapters 9, 10, and 11. And in these chapters, we find that Paul has a great desire for the Israelite to be saved. It is chapter number 10 that describes the mistake they have made. Notice verse number 1, 2, and 3 once again. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being what? Ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And so the mistake they have made is there is a remedy available, and they have chosen to establish their own righteousness rather than that which can be imputed to them. And of course, many of the verses that we read, right on down to verse number 17, is speaking of that tremendous remedy. Verses 9 and 10 are such great verses. I rarely use them, but I think they're probably more vivid than verse 13 that I so often use. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be. It's not might be. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And of course, he makes that very clear in a more simple form in verse 13 when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's notice something, because beginning in verse 14, there is something that I want us to really get. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We find that this faith that brings about salvation comes by a listening process that begins with a speaker here called a preacher. And by the way, if you tell people about Christ, you're preaching to them, you're telling them the direction to go. There's not just preaching from pulpits, there's preaching from your workbench as well. But by the way, if you are, make sure you're working. We find that verse number 15 says that this one who preaches is sent. Jesus said to us, even so send I you. Now we also know from verse 16, there are some who we speak to who will not listen. And yet there are those who also will listen. But then we come to verse 17. I quote it often, but notice again, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, brethren, he's talking about hearing, and it's in the context of preaching. It's in the context, as he says here, preaching the word of God. I find that highly interesting. You can't believe something until you've heard. And somebody must tell us first. Even the Ethiopian eunuch, as he's riding the chair, reading, we believe, out of the book of Isaiah, could not understand it until the preacher got aboard and showed him how to get saved. And so they must hear in order to believe. If you don't hear something, you know nothing about it, you cannot believe it. You don't know anything about it. It's foreign to you. But I want you to notice something else here, because I believe it's very important. In verse number 17, faith cometh by, what's the word? Hearing. And notice, and what?
Hearing.
Now, what tense is that? Anybody know? Are you an English person? It's an ing word that always gives us a hint, and it's called present perfect. The present perfect tense describes something as it is right now and as it will continue onwardly. So it's right now, and it keeps going into the future. And so I say to you tonight, you have faith to believe the gospel as you hear to believe, and then you get the rest of the story that your faith, your belief, might grow. And faith cannot grow without something to believe, and you can't believe something you've never heard. So it's important for us to hear. My question tonight is this to you. As a Christian, what are you listening to? Or perhaps I could say, who are you listening to? Let me give you three thoughts here in this area. One of those, as we find from the context, would be the preacher. And from the text, we find it's the preacher that God is using. In its simple form, a preacher, I believe, is one of two things, a missionary / evangelist that gives a message that will inspire saving faith. A pastor focuses more on messages that aid people in believing the doctrines and practices of a Christian. And so it's growing in the faith. While salvation is not ignored because the pastor is instructed to do the work of an evangelist, he nonetheless is seeking for the maturity of God's people. And what we look for is a mature Christian that truly loves God, because they become evangelists in the community. When you love somebody, you just can't help but talk about them. It's ingrained in you. It's a part of you. If you go to church and you hear people say amen a lot, and perhaps you get to start saying amen some, and you get into a business meeting somewhere and somebody says something you agree with, you just might be saying amen. You might get a couple stares, but nonetheless, that's what? It's there. And so we're to what? Be an evangelist in our community. How's it come about? As we learn to love the Lord. Now, there's something about this that I think is important for us to understand. When we observe the qualifications of a pastor, we find they are quite stringent, because his life speaks as loudly as his voice. And that's a very, very true statement. Sadly, there are always some that listen to find fault, and they really aren't listening, and their faith wanes. But we find that God uses the preaching of the Word of God on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis to help us to grow in our faith. Let me give you an illustration. I had the privilege, a year after I was saved, to go to Bible college. I had the privilege to sit under what some believe was the greatest pulpiteer in our age, Dr. Tom Malone. And Sunday after Sunday, I heard him preach, and tremendous messages. And then as I was in school, every day, Tuesday through Friday, we had chapel. They believe they need to keep the chapel pulpit hot. I'm not sure what that meant completely, but they did not mess around. And so we had preaching 4 days a week in chapel. On Mondays, we met as a student body, and we chose somebody amongst us to preach to us. Many of us, on Sunday nights, after we'd heard a message, a Sunday school lesson, and another message, we would go to somebody's house and eat some popcorn and pick somebody to preach for us. We were nuts. But I want to tell you what took place as a result of that. That preaching brought me into a position of faith more than anything else. I heard testimonies from these men of how God did different things in other lives and in their own lives. And it encouraged me. I heard Dr. Malone often talk about how he was nothing but a poor farm boy out of Alabama. And they were just cotton farmers, and yet God reached down and touched his life and saved his soul. And God used him mightily. And so we find that there's the preacher. I believe there's something else that we need to stop and consider tonight, because who are we listening to? What are we listening to? One is, who we listen to preach, or what are we hearing preached? Secondly, I would speak of the musician. The musician. Now, I don't find any real qualifications like I do for a pastor given for musicians, but I believe there's some obvious ones. What they believe is probably what they'll be singing, amen? You will see that Sunday morning, Sunday night, as Brother Mark Gray comes. He does not sing songs that he does not thoroughly believe. And by the way, that have not completely struck in his heart. They sing what they believe. And how they live will give strength to the song. Would you agree with me? How they live will give strength to the song. Listen, when you can't tell the difference between somebody singing in church and a rock singer, something is missing. Something is wrong. I remember hearing a pastor brag about the drummer that was in his church. And he was talking about, and he thought it was something because on Saturday night, this guy played in the bars, but he came to church on Sunday and played God's music. What a testimony. By the way, he played the drums the same way he did on Saturday night as he did on Sunday morning. But is music important? Oh, very much. Music provides for us a way to have memory retention. It's unlike any other medium. Let me ask you a question tonight. If I ask you what has a sweet sound, what might you say? What comes to your mind? I think of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And it's amazing to me that the adjective that we would probably put with it is that word amazing. You see, music has a way of teaching us. Is that not what it's telling us? When we go to the book of Colossians and it talks about singing and making melody in our heart, and where it tells us we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing these songs. By the way, if you just sing them to sing them and don't let them touch your heart, you're missing out. If you're just going through the motions so you can get done with it, so the preacher can get up and preach, and so you can get done and get out of here, something's wrong. And music can do some marvelous, marvelous things to our lives. And it helps us to remember. Do we understand that's what the book of Psalms is all about? Helping the people of God to remember the greatness of God through song. Another way I would mention tonight, who are you listening to? Who are you hearing? One, I would say, Are we listening to the preacher? Are we listening to the musician? And the last one I will deal with tonight is the author. The author. See, the author, yeah, what do authors do? They write. They write articles, they write books. In all reality, an author is a preacher that's using a pen rather than a voice. Have you not heard it said that there is power in the pen? There's a reason for that, because that pen, when it writes it on that paper, it's going to stay around longer than the words that you use. It'll also be heard by more than would hear you to begin with. Someone has a tremendous ability. When it comes to books of theology, the author's qualifications, I believe, ought to be scrutinized the same as a pastor's. Matter of fact, many books that I read are written by pastors. And many of them are nothing more than a collection of their sermons on a particular topic. We find today there are thousands of so-called Christian books. But there's a lot of them we ought never have in our hands. They're not telling forth the truth of God. So again, I ask, who or what are you listening to? In the case of the author, is the material spiritually edifying? Or does it appeal to the flesh? We could say that about music too, could we not? Oh, by the way, we can also apply that to the preaching. Does it build your faith? Does it build your faith? Does it put you in the category of Daniel? In chapter 11, verse number 32, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be he corrupt by flatteries." Talking about the Antichrist. But then it goes on and said, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Who does bold and daring feats? Those who know the strength of God. How do they know that? They've heard it. They've heard it. They've believed it. And when they believe it, they've seen it in operation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is for us. You say, this sounds like something ought to be said to people who are lost. No, I'm put in this category because of the ongoingness of those present perfect words where it says, hearing, hearing. Because our faith not only needs an initial moment, but it needs built day by day. Week by week, year by year. I remember many years ago, Brother Al Wells, he came every year to our church. And first few years, I don't think he liked me, tell you the truth. And I liked his preaching, but I didn't like him. And just telling you how it kind of is, I appreciate what he did. But there was something about his manner, and there was something about my manner he didn't like. But something took place in the few years following that as we coincided together. And we became like a father-son relationship. And there was hardly a week went by in the last few years that I did not talk to him via telephone. And we talk about some very, very heartfelt things. One of the years that he came here, he looked me in the eye and he says, "You don't see this because you're here all the time." But he says, "These people have been hearing the Word of God, and I can see they have a greater faith. They've grown. They're more mature than they were a year ago." That'll always be true. Ought to always be true. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Make much of who and what you listen to, whether it's the preacher, the musician, or the book you read. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. We could open this book and that we can behold what you have taught us. We can make application of this tremendous verse. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not just make application, but interrogate our hearts. Be open to your inner criticism of who and what we listen to, that we might be on the right path, that our faith might grow. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.